Good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock, October 9, 2024. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. I don't really have any opening comments this morning. I guess it's been I've been so busy, it hasn't been time to prepare any. In fact, I was so busy that last weekend I was unable to even get down to Fargo for the football game, but I heard, it was an outstanding game and a very excellent performance by one of North Dakota's premier teams. And we'll do the pledge after opening comments.
Well noted, Commissioner Chris. We won't even talk about the football game or the hockey game. But I do have a couple things. I am pleased to report that the results of our damage prevention 2023 audit achieved the highest covenant rating of adequate. And I'll never forget the first time Conrad told me of the rating adequate. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he goes, Commissioner, it's the highest ranking that you can get. So adequate means well achieved, success. One time I was told my dress was adequate, so I'm glad you clarified that. But I want to note that this program, our damage prevention through FENSA, has received a perfect audit score for the last 4 years in a row. That is an amazing achievement, and it's a great undertaking every year, and I'm glad to see our staff upholds that and takes it very serious. I had the privilege of being out on two pipeline safety inspections this past year, being boots on the ground and seeing how it's done. The first one was replacing some pipeline due to a risk management program and identification, watching that. And then my second pipeline inspection was actually bringing a distribution to a new home that was being developed. But I got to see our staff in action, working with the contractors, all the things that they go through. So it's just amazing to be out there and see it. So I really want to compliment our damage prevention program, what they do with all their work that they do to achieve this perfect score for 4 years in a row. So congratulations to Conrad and his team. They do a remarkable job. And keep up the great work.
Very good point. I'm glad you highlighted that and make it more public. Yeah. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Excellent. Thank you, Sherry. I also want to applaud our damage prevention folks. Who's in charge of the ratings?
PHMSA.
PHMSA. Was acceptable, not available. way to inspire people to excellence. PHMSA, good job. Anyway, so good job getting the highest possible rating to you and your team, Conrad. I just wanted to briefly mention I have been out on the road the last couple of days and was through Ray and that whole area and saw the destruction of those fires and the literally scorched earth through that part of our state, and saw, MDU, who we regulate, has had some infrastructure there impacted. One of their distribution lines was sort of right in the line of the fire, and they lost a number of poles, and I saw some of those poles on the ground and also saw a lot of electrical workers for both MDU and the co-ops out working. And I think it's really awesome that nobody lost power out of the MDU customers as a result of that, those fires. All the power was rerouted, and they were, on the spot immediately making repairs and working to restore that system and to fix the damage from that terrible fire. So that was, you know, a silver lining in that whole disaster. And the other silver lining is just the overall response of North Dakota people, all the rural firefighters and the National Guard, our state. I'm proud of our state team, the governor, the insurance commissioner, the ag commissioner, all pulling together and going out and viewing the damage and being available to help people with their questions, help people respond, help people recover, and just support folks in a really devastating time. So it could have been much worse. It was terrible for a few folks and a few families who there was two lost lives, which is really, really unfortunate. Sure shows you the power of that particular type of disaster and the importance of listening to the warnings when there is, you know, red flag warnings and those types of things. I don't think there's any negligence at play in the starting of these fires. It's just extremely, extremely dry out there. You walk just across any land and your boots are covered with dirt, your clothes, it comes up all of your pants. I mean, I haven't seen it this dry for a long time. So anyway, just wanted to give some kudos out to MDU for their response and to the others who have been on the ground helping people and helping the communities deal with this tragedy.
Very, very well said. Now, before we get to the actual business on our agenda, would you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, and we only have one item on our consent agenda, so I move approval of that along with the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then moving to RC1, I move the commission conditionally approve revision 1-3 to surface coal mining permit number NACC-1302 held by the Coyote Creek Mining Company for the Coyote Creek Mine to identify the next 5-year coal removal areas and update mining and reclamation plans and other sections of the permit for the next permit term in Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, revision 13, permit NACC-1302, application case number RC-24-244.
Second.
Okay, first of all, I want to say, remind everyone, this is a revision that is, you know, sometimes we have revisions in the middle of a permit term. This is one that goes along with a renewal. The renewals are every fifth year. And so the next motion will be the renewal. This is the revision to revise the plan. The next will be the renewal with pretty much all the same points. So I'm not going to repeat them again. So if anybody's listening that just wants to hear about the renewal, pay attention now. Because unless I'm asked, I'm not going through it again. So on the revision part, on June 18th, Coyote Creek filed the application for this revision 13 to permit 1302. It identifies the next 5-year coal removal areas and updates introductory, legal, and business entity information, the identification of interests and rights of entry, the surface water hydrology, operations and reclamation plans, worst-case reclamation cost estimate, surface water management, fish and wildlife resources, post-mining land use, and revegetation sections of the permit. So a lot of ground covered here. They applied for this revision and the corresponding renewal too to the permit since mining is scheduled to continue in the existing permit area until about 2040. The surface and coal ownership information were updated as necessary. The pit layout and facilities map were revised. The reclamation schedule was updated. Areas that have been reclaimed were removed from the variance area map. The surface water monitoring plan was revised. The fish and wildlife resource section was revised. And the post-mining land use and revegetation section was updated. The revision was obviously considered a significant revision application and was subject to the public notice requirements. Coyote Creek Mining Company has submitted affidavits of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. On August 22nd, our reclamation division staff met with one landowner and their attorney to discuss revision 13 and renewal 2 together. On August 26th, the reclamation division received written comments from that landowner regarding the revision and renewal applications. Their comments discussed dampened public participation following our commission commentary during a July 8th, 2024 meeting that was regarding another case. The Reclamation Division responded to those comments on September 25th. The comments ranged on a number of topics. There was a consultation on selecting reference areas. They discussed future relocation of a road that goes through, and I would describe it being from up there as not a like arterial gravel county road, but a road that the operators that are right in that area might use to cross, and a good portion of that road was not on a section line previously, and so it's kind of tough to figure out exactly where it should go someday. Then a lot of discussion about the testing depth for graded soil and our policy memo 17. I feel that the Reclamation Division's response to that adequately explained the situation. So to me, in my mind, that is covered. With this revision, a special condition, be number 6, is being added to the permit, which states that Coyote Creek must provide the commission with copies of the Mercer County Road Authority approval documents to close or to relocate County Road number 13. Now, 13 is more of an arterial road that lots of people use. It's a gravel road, and it, you know, if you're out there years ago, it's like the west edge of the mine. Our 13 goes north and south, but things will be growing that direction. So we're asking they have to let us know when they reach a plan with Mercer County on what to do about that road. And as well as the other documents to conduct the mining in that area. And that is actually required by the Century Code. Then there's another special condition, number 7, that is being added, which states that Coyote Creek must provide detailed plans for the relocated County 13 and the haul roads and corridors passing over or under the existing or relocated road. So how are they going to, when they relocate it or adjust, how are they going to deal with that? Just a little more background on this. The Coyote Creek is North Dakota's newest lignite mine. It encompasses with this about 8,444 acres, which is a little over 13 square miles. And for those who don't deal in acreage much, I think it's about the size of Mandan. About half of those acres will ultimately be mined in the mine plan. So an adequate performance bond is currently in effect for the worst case reclamation estimate, which was updated as part of Revision 13. This permit is covered by a surety bond that totals $25,220,000. and the Reclamation Division has completed its review of the revision application and recommends that it be approved, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Randy, can you remind me of the public input procedure here on this? Does it go once we approve this, does it go to the public? Or has that piece already happened?
That has happened.
Okay, and there was no response?
The one. Discussed.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
So then we move on to RC2. I move the commission approve renewal to surface coal mining permit NACC-1302 held by the Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company for the Cuyahoga Creek Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until October 22, 2029 in Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company LLC renewal to permit NACC-1302 application case number RC-24-245.
Second.
And I will just describe this as everything just that I just said regarding the revision.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Helgenhofer.
Thank you. I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement in Public Service Commission, Northern States Power Company, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number DM-24-164.
Second.
Thank you. So on April 16th, the Commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from our own gas pipeline safety program manager alleging a violation occurred by Northern States Power for failure to mark their facility. So going back, an incident occurred in which our program manager was on site, and I'll walk through the steps that happened. So Xcel was going to do work in Horace, North Dakota, installing fiber optic. What they did is they contracted with a local service, Olimeter, to mark their facility. And what happened is they marked some of their facility, but there was a T, and they didn't mark part of that pipe. And that's what was struck by optical when they went out there and started doing the excavation. What happened is they struck an unmarked 4-inch gas pipeline causing outage to 270 customers in Horace, and the damage was a little over $53,000. Xcel responded by shutting the gas off and marking the necessary repairs to restore service. And as indicated, our program manager also responded to investigate this incident and so was on site. So based upon the investigation, as I indicated, Xcel contracted the service and part of the pipe was not marked. They disqualified the technician, and then upon further investigation, Xcel took additional steps regarding this. The additional steps, which was reactionary to this event, was to improve locator training and oversight by adding additional staff, increasing the number of field audits conducted on locate technicians, improving employee retention, utilizing this incident as a training tool. I appreciate Xcel's reaction to this. The one thing I want to say in working with Conrad in damage prevention is the 811 is a prevention. It's all about prevention. And I think companies really need to be more proactive in their approach when it comes to damage prevention. And we see this with workers. Maybe it's a high turnover rate or whatever, you know. So I appreciate it, but again, I'm going to challenge companies to be proactive instead of reactive. But having looking at this case, our program manager did a very thorough look, brought it forth, and opened up the case. And advocacy staff was assigned, and a consent agreement was looked at. And I have to say, this is one of the highest damage prevention cases I've seen since I've been here. The staff took it very seriously. I know Connor had worked a lot with XL on this, on education, so I want to thank him for that. Under the consent agreement, the agreement was reached at a civil penalty of $7,000. Even though the guidelines we can go up to $10,000, they waived some of that as a consent agreement that Excel was very easy to work with. This is their second damage prevention, so we looked at the history. And even though I was a little disappointed that they were reactionary versus proactive on some of this, I think it was... costly for them. So after thoughtful consideration, going back and forth, Conrad's looking at me, I will accept this. But it was a big outage, and it's a gas pipeline. And like I said, they looked at it seriously on the cost and $10,000, but working with them and come to a consent agreement of $7,000. So I will support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just say I support this as well. So thank you guys for looking at this hard. I would also just want to put a pin in this for our advocacy staff that I don't think that this money, either the $53,000 in costs to restore the system or the $7,000 fine, should be added to rate base on the economic regulation side. This is something that the company should bear the cost of this as their fault. So just I'll follow up with that team separately, but just want to make that comment here publicly as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company application to amend order application case number PU-24-342.
Second.
On September 20th, NSP filed an application for the commission to amend its March 9th, 2016 order approving settlement and the associated settlement agreement in case number PU-12813. NSP is requesting the commission remove a December 31st, 2025 deadline for NSP to build or locate in eastern North Dakota a natural gas-fired electric generation facility and replace it with a semi-annual reporting requirement. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reason for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by November 22nd, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just say I would have to learn a lot more than what I learned from the original filing before I would be supportive of the change without a hearing. So I'm guessing whether the public requests one or not, I'm guessing there's a pretty good chance we're going to need one.
I discussed with the staff today, and most likely we'll proceed with an informal hearing. Yeah.
And, but, I mean, this is good to get this out there so yep. the public is aware of their requests. So. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of history on this case going back to 10 all the way up to now with an agreement mm-hmm. in 2025. So there's a lot of history to cover.
I just was noting hearing as well. And I'm not sure an informal is going to be the most helpful to getting us to the decision point. So I guess I'd be open to a formal hearing where advocacy kind of digs in and thinks about this as well. But we can talk about that separately with the PUD staff.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, and Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Antelope Valley, NESET 345 KV Transmission Line, Williams County Siting Application, case number PU-24-236.
Second.
Well, this was a walk down memory lane for me, just even reading about this, because I remember very well our siting hearings on this project. Way back in 2013, I think our hearings were held, and they were well attended, and there was a lot of discussion on them. So this turned out to be an important piece of infrastructure for the Bakken, and they're continuing to make upgrades, which is what this is. So on April 23rd of 2014, we approved a permit for the construction of this nearly 200-mile, 345 kV line from Beulah to Tioga, North Dakota, owned by Basin Electric. We have called it the AVS to NESET, but the public would be better able to understand. It runs from Beulah to Tioga. So on this, in June of this year, Basin submitted an application to build a new 345 kV substation, a new 250-foot tall microwave tower, 6.8 miles of 115 kV line, and about 1,500 feet of new 345 kV line, two new 345 kV structures. And this is all approximately 10 miles northeast of Williston. The substation and the 345 kV line kind of triggered the jurisdiction for our permitting. We filed a notice of opportunity for hearing on July 8th, and that expired on August 24th. We didn't receive any comments or requests for a hearing, so our staff has reviewed this and gone over everything. Basically, this project is needed to tie in the Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative's 115 kilovolt system to the existing AVS to NESET 345 kV transmission line. And so that's the reason for this project. The substation is going to be on about 40 acres parcel, which Basin owns. And the 345 kV line is about 1,500 feet in length, and includes two new towers. The total estimated cost of this project is $32 million. Basin consulted with all the necessary federal, state, and local agencies. There's about 27 of those different agencies. They've consulted with them. They've reviewed the impact to cultural resources, historical resources, exclusion areas, avoidance areas. There are none in the project area, and have determined that through all that consulting and studying process that no significant adverse impacts will result from the location, construction, operation of the project. So having reviewed all of this, having done the necessary notices to the public for any concerns that they might have and receiving nothing there, I think all the steps are in order to approve this permit, and I'm in favor of supporting it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to add a little commentary, since we don't have a big agenda today anyway. You know, we cite some really big things, and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on a project, some projects that are in the billions of dollars. And so this is $32 million, I think, the estimate. But it's a big deal. It's getting the electricity to where it's needed. And I thought of that when you said, and you're right, that to a large part of the public, if you said AVS to NESA, they wouldn't know what any of that means. And so maybe Beulah to Tioga sounds like a better description. Except for, that really doesn't sound that far if you look at the two on the map. Because it's Beulah to Grassy Butte, right through the heart of McKenzie County, through the heart of Williams County, and back over to Tioga. So maybe we should describe it as the project from the heart of coal country throughout the heart of oil and gas country.
True.
But I don't know, whatever it is, it's a much more important deal than $32 million would cause one to believe.
Absolutely.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
So that concludes our agenda items. We don't have anything that I'm aware of scheduled on our administrative meeting agenda.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything to add?
I think Victor was going to come in and do something with scheduling.
Okay, so then we will have an admin meeting. I was going to say we would just cancel it.
There he is.
But, okay, we will follow the proper order then and wait with that. Regarding some announcements, I also don't have very many of those. I will just want to highlight that our next regular commission meeting is not 2 weeks from today like we probably normally do. There was a conflict there, so it is actually on Tuesday, October 22nd, 10 o'clock here.
Mr. Chairman, that's another scheduling thing I might want to talk to you guys about.
Okay, so for now, it is Tuesday, October 22nd, and still a regular commission meeting. It may be moved and become a special commission meeting. And the one after that, because it's not the normal Wednesday cycle either, is at least currently scheduled for 1 o'clock on Thursday, November 7th. That's all I wanted to say on scheduling. With that, we will stand in recess and take any questions from the press, although there's none present in the room with us, but maybe online. So I will stand in recess.